Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. I am Frankenberry, and also you might just hear Ginger this morning as well, as she is hanging with the Carol.
She hangs with the Carol all the time, right. brightest dog in the world.
Yep, she's hanging with the Carol right now.
Until UPS comes.
That's right. That's when the barking starts. But hello, ladies, and welcome back after a holiday weekend.
Oh, I know. How was your holiday weekend?
It was okay. I extended it. I took the Tuesday as well.
So, oh, you did. Nice.
It was nice. I'm working on something. I'm writing something a little bit bigger than usual. So, I wanted some extra time this weekend to do that, and that's what I took.
I feel like faster. Summer goes faster every year.
I know.
And it doesn't help when you go into the department stores or craft stores in July and they have Christmas stuff out.
Yeah, I know.
Well, wait a minute. They have Christmas stuff? Like Halloween? Okay, I figured.
Oh, no. Christmas.
Oh, man.
I know.
That is really pushing it, because I'm a summer baby too. Although I was talking to somebody today and I was reminded that even though summer officially starts end of June, Memorial Day is when we, you know, really kick it off. So we do
agree.
We do have a good chunk of summer, and it's still nice. I mean, this week alone, like 90 something. So
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I actually turned on the AC at the apartment again.
So yeah, and you might have to do that for, you know, the better part of September. But since you asked, what I did on my holiday weekend.
Since you asked.
yes, please tell us.
As obviously the audience and us,
you know, bated breath right now.
I have just a quick story that I want to tell you. That what I did over the holiday weekend is on, oh gosh, I guess it was Saturday, I want to say, of the holiday weekend, I was invited to be in studio at Newsmax, which is it's not as old as Fox and CNN and MSNBC, so it's fairly new, and it's a news station much like Fox News, and I had never been there in person before, so I was going there for the first time in person, which was great. And I was there for a show, it was a couple hours long, so the way it was working was I would sit in the green room, but I was all mic'd up. And when you're mic'd up, you got a mic on and you have it, what they call an IFB, in your ear so that you can hear the things that are going on in the control room and they can hear you if you were to talk. So when I was sitting in the green room waiting, I could hear what was going on in control. And then when I was on set, I would do my thing, and then I'd go back and I'd wait and then back on set. And I was doing that for a 2-hour period. Well, so I'm in the green room waiting for one of my hits, when the hit before me was none other than Mike Pence. Now, of course, he's not in studio. He's wherever Mike Pence is, but he's on a remote line, and I can hear every single thing that he's saying off the air. So he's off the air like I'm off the air. I'm sitting in the green room keeping my mouth shut. He's off the air waiting to go on. And so, and this is not a political statement at all. He was the biggest diva I have ever heard.
Really?
Diva. He was like, oh, this lighting, and oh, this sound, and oh, you're breaking up a little bit, and you got to move this, and you got to move that, and oh, I guess, and I can't, you know, this is a little green. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like eating my popcorn, listening to all his
And he didn't realize that all the others in queue could hear him?
Well, he must have known that, like, the control people could hear him, but maybe he didn't know that there was a guest sitting in the green room who was still dialed up. And that's not my fault. Like, I can't control that. They either shut me off or don't shut me off. And so I was just soaking it all up. And if there was a little devil on my shoulder that wanted to speak up and go, hey, Mike, shut up.
Your mic is on.
You look fine. You know, what are you, you know, you're a dude. Put a little more Vitalis in your hair and just go. But I didn't. I didn't. Wow. It was so funny. And of course, I was waiting for him to say something salacious, but he didn't. But, you know, look, everybody tries to control the narrative. I guess that's what you do. You know, he knew he was going to be on TV. He had to look a certain way. He wanted to sound a certain way. And damn it, that was going to happen no matter what.
Wow.
I guess I'll give him credit for that. But I, like I said, I kept my mouth shut.
Your ears open.
And my ears open. That's right. And I was embarrassed that day, though, because, you know, I don't want to keep bringing this up. But I will.
Here we go.
Yes, hold on. I'm leaning back. Go ahead.
this hair journey that I'm on, you know, has been a problem for quite a while. And even though now I have my new water system and it is getting a lot better, but the water system can't change the style of my hair. So luckily today I'm going in and hopefully I'm going to kind of fix this style once and for all, because also over the holiday weekend, I lost my mind a little bit, not totally, and I didn't act on it, but I did spend quite a few hours teaching myself how to cut hair. And I watched, like, I don't know, six or so very long hair cutting tutorials on the YouTube, and I almost took matters into my own hands. I almost said, you know what, if I could pass the bar, I can figure out how to fix my own dang hair. But I didn't. But I did learn a lot. But I when it came time to take out the scissors, which were not professional scissors, and try to fix it myself, I chickened out. Probably a good
thing. Now, it's already much shorter than you want it to be.
Yes. Way, way shorter than I want it to be. But it's so the part that's bothering me now is the part that's not like the bottom length I can leave alone and let that grow. It's the side. Like, there's one thing happening on one side of my head that I honestly, if I were insane, I would think that some little weird hair demon comes in the middle of the night and chops off pieces of my hair with a blunt rock and then flies away. Like, that's really what it looks like. But it can't be happening because I'm not insane. So it just needs to be what I learned from teaching myself how to be a hairstylist on the YouTube is it needs to be blended better. And there is a method to that. So I hopefully am going to have that accomplished so I can stop. Like, literally, I went on this TV studio and never in my life before have I ever worn a barrette in my hair on national television.
You did?
I had to. It's the only way. It is the only way to keep the shape of my head from looking like a mushroom. I had to pin it back. But I don't have, like, you know, I don't even have the kind of barrettes that are unnoticeable. They got, like, furs that jingle, jangle, jingle all over.
Yeah, they
got
to be blingy.
They got to be blingy. And, you know, so I did that on national television. Yeah, I know.
Can I see this segment anywhere?
Oh, God, I hope not. But, you know. You might be able to. Oh, you know what? Maybe I might have. I might have it recorded, and then I can record it onto my phone, and I can show you, and you could be like, "Oh, friend."
You could bring back a hair trend. You could bring back the barrette.
I was thinking about that because right now the hair trend that I am bringing back is the David Cassidy, which was
never. It used to be Carol Brady, and now you're David Cassidy.
And let's say that's an improvement, right? Can we all agree? Now that my hair has grown from the Carol Brady.
I would agree. Yes.
Yes.
I concur.
It is an improvement. But it looks exactly just like David Cassidy, which is great if you're a man in the mid-70s who was part of a family band. But not so much when you are moi. You know what I mean?
You know? Maybe you got to start carrying around one of those big-tailed combs that we used to put in our back pockets. Remember? And it was cool. It was cool.
No, it was cool. You had one in your back pocket even if you didn't use it.
Yes.
Yes. And yes. Then Remember when that gave way to, remember when we had picks? Do you remember the picks?
Oh, yep. Home?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, because we almost started perming our hair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I did that once. My Lord, what a mistake that was.
You permed your hair?
Just one, I was like, well, I was like, hey, I'm just going to follow the trend.
Let me jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, do you have any pictures of that? I would love to see.
I do not. Unless they are in a scrapbook somewhere that I don't know of. I do not.
You're a liar. We have to see that.
Well, Jonna, look, I'm just glad that you held back on practicing on your own hair because that was not going to end well. Yeah, that would have just turned into you being like, you know, 7 years old and your mother coming over and yelling at you and saying, Jonna, did you cut your own hair? And then you hiding the scissors behind your back and going, no.
Guys, I'm not even.
And then wait, and then the next scene is big chunk of hair goes.
Yes, exactly.
I wish I was exaggerating this time, but I'm not. I was so close. And I actually said to myself, I got this. Then I said, when I came to and I decided that it was not a good idea after all, the one woman who I was following mostly, I looked her up and she lives in Florida. And I'm like, well, I could get a ticket, but I'm confident my girl's going to be able to figure this out because it's not her fault. It's this head. But oh, it's been long enough. You know, it's been like a couple of months. And when you're constantly worried about your look, a couple of months feels like a couple of lifetimes.
And Carol and I agree, by the way, that it feels like a couple of lifetimes.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll move on to the one PSA that I wanted to talk about today before we get to our guest, which we did not promo, but I will in a second. My one PSA, if I can, especially sure. Now that school has started. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are walking your dogs in the morning around school bus time, may I please remind you, as a lover of animals, that you are to not let them go to the end of their leash from the sidewalk into the street with cars and buses coming. Now, I should not have to tell you this. I should not have to tell you that some buses especially, and even some regular sized cars, are not going to be able to see your little fluffy at the end of his or her 6-foot leash when your body is on the sidewalk, but your dog's is not. So please, all things holy, just don't do, like, keep the dog on the sidewalk by your ankle unless you are in an open field full of daisies and there's no chance that a bus is going to round the corner and not see you and Fido. Please. Thank you.
And I am with you on that one. And I am also going to note, too, if you are walking your dog, can you please be the one on the outside of the sidewalk, not on the inside of the sidewalk?
Good point. Frankenberry. Yes, I love it. Now, before we get too far into it, although we are fully into
Pretty far into it.
I should have mentioned this at the top because I'm very excited. We have a guest today who you're going to love. I especially love her because I feel like she is not just a sister from another mister. I feel like she is a twin from another lifetime because we are going to be speaking with an author / attorney, not just any old kind of attorney, author / divorce lawyer named Renee Bauer. Her book, her first book dropped literally 5 days ago this week. And it's called She Who Wins, Ditch Your Inner Good Girl, Overcome Uncertainty and Win at Your Life. And we're going to talk to Renee about how she came to write this book and the other things that she does and how it's not the first book that she was supposed to write. But it's awesome. And we're going to talk to her all about how we can empower ourselves, ladies, to become winners at this little game called life.
I feel like if humans could be a spirit animal, she would be your spirit animal.
I know. I agree. That's a good way to put it. So, So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about her. I think I have gone down my list of complaints for today. Does anybody else have anything?
No. Actually, I'm A-okay fine, Jonas Spilbore. Yes. Okay. Yes. Your list of complaints and gripes and everything else done for the morning. And we will be back with Renee Bauer in just a few minutes. So please stick around for more with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it is guest time now. Yes, fanfare sounds, because this is segment number two, and we are going to get to this week's esteemed guest, right, Miss Spilbore?
Yes. Yes, and Jonna and I are already fighting over who's going to be her new BFF, so... Carry on.
I know we like to do that, but actually, you can be her new BFF because I am her twin from another life. So I am pulling right. And when I read you a little bit about Renee, you're going to see why. So let's get into it. Renee Bauer is a 20-year divorce attorney and founder of, I love this, Happy Even After Family Law in Connecticut. She's also She's also a motivational speaker and host of women's empowerment events called the She Who Wins Summit. Her book, and this is hot off the press, She Who Wins, just released this week and is creating quite a buzz across the internet and in this studio, I might add, where she helps women get clarity on how to ditch their inner good girl to get what they want. Renee has been featured in major media outlets and has been named Litigator of the Year and Woman-Owned Business of the Year, and isn't shy about talking about her two divorces that were part of her journey before she found her big, messy, blended family. Renee Bauer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is a great way to kick off the day.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? And for us, too, because I want to tell you a couple things. We want to talk all about you and this book, but I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. My co-hosts know this. I don't read books anymore. I consume a lot of books via audio. My Audible account is off the charts, but I don't read. But I read for work. I'm a lawyer, like you. You know, you got to read a crap ton for work. So, but I like to listen to my books. You sent me a book, and your book, I don't think, is yet out on Audible. I'm sure one day it will be.
It's not.
And so, did you pick her book up and read it, Jonna?
You guys, I picked her book up and I read it. Now, listen, here's what why I have to thank you, Renee, because by reading your book, and I'm not through the whole thing yet, but I have so many notes and I have so many sticky notes and so many dog ears. I said to myself, here's why I don't read, because I love this book so much. I have what I call a photographic memory. I don't know if it's even a real thing, but when I see words on a page, they stick in my head and I can literally catalog through them, flip my way through them, which is wonderful when you're in trial or an emotion hearing. But when you're consuming something that you like, it's now forever in my brain. Like, I can close my eyes and I can read page 32. Like, it's that solid. And then every once in a while, you have to delete what's in your hard drive, which is your brain, because there's just not enough room to store some data. But now I'm going to read this entire book. And if I have to delete it later, I will. But there is so much good stuff in here. And I love the format is probably one of the easiest consumable, inspirational books I have ever read. Like, it just all seems to make sense. So you're the first one to get me to pick up an actual book. And I think you should know that.
Wow. And thank you. That's incredible. I have a best friend who doesn't read either. And she messaged me at midnight the other day. And she was in big caps, she's like, I have lost sleep because I actually finished your book in one sitting and I don't
read.
Oh
my gosh.
And you know what? Like, that's the best review for me. Like, it's cool to have readers read your book. when people who don't read pick it up and say, I finished the whole book, like, that's when I'm like, yeah, I did my job.
And you can't put it down. So before we dive into the meat of the book, which so far is just fantastic, you have a really interesting backstory and how you came to write this particular book. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, because it wasn't a straight shot. You didn't wake up one day and say, this is the book I'm going to write. So tell us a little bit about you.
So as you said in my intro, I've been a divorce lawyer for 20 years now, but I've been a writer before I was anything else. Like, I've been writing my entire life, and I always knew I had books in me. And then somewhere in the adult world, I kind of got caught up in being an adult, and I lost that that passion, or I stopped writing. And I, you know, I shared that a couple divorces, I think, actually inspired me to start writing again and tap into that. But this was not originally the book that my agent pitched. And it was supposed to be a divorce book, because divorce makes sense, because that's what I do. And I reached back out to her and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to write that book. That book's too late. I'm like, I want to write the book that the woman picks up before she ends up in that situation where she married the wrong person, or she hasn't had the hard conversations, or she hasn't addressed conflict before they come to see me in my office. I'm like, that's the book that I want to write. It has nothing to do with their spouse. It has everything to do with them. And we got so many rejections on this book because publishers kept saying it's too general. You need to niche down. I'm like, but I don't want to niche down. I'm like, every woman out there struggles with worthiness and struggles sometimes with money or having hard conversations. And so we just stuck to our guns and we just kept pitching it. And then we got the yes. And I'm so glad we didn't back down, just because of the feedback that I'm now getting. And it doesn't matter whether it's an entrepreneur who picks it up, someone who's gone through two divorces who picks it up, someone who's in their early 20s who picks it up, like it's resonating across decades.
And that story is precisely what your book is about. Your book is about not caving in, not doing the thing that you think maybe you should do. It's about really truly being your authentic self and breaking out of the mold. So you literally walked the walk when you wrote this book. And I just think that's, I love it. And it's amazing. So, and it's funny because I was literally just the other day, I was talking to somebody and I was complaining, because as a lawyer, you know, our jobs are tough. I'm not saying we don't have the only tough jobs in the world, but our jobs could be really tough. And I was saying to somebody, I'm like, you know, I would just love to be able to write for the rest of my life, just get up in the morning and write and make a boatload of money off it and do that until the day I die. And the person turned to me and said, well, why don't you? Uh-huh. And I looked at the person like, what are you, nuts? Like, I can't do that. How am I going to do that? But the truth is, you can do that. Like, I can do that. You can do that, right? I mean, why not?
Well, and you know what? I say the same thing. People are like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what's your dream job? I'm like, I want to write every single day. Now, like, we can do that. And so I guess it's figuring out making the boatload of money on the other end.
Right.
That we haven't figured out yet. You know, I think that becomes a lot harder. But you can absolutely, at any point in your life, you can get to that midpoint in your life and pivot and say, you know what? I no longer want to do this thing that I went to school for. And there's a certificate on my wall that says that I'm qualified to do this. And it no longer fulfills me. And I can do something else. And I think so many people don't do that. They feel stuck because they're like, I went to school to get the degree and now I have to do it until I die. And that's just not true. We can pivot at any point and leave that relationship that's come to completion. Leave the job that soul sucking, move across country and leave the state we grew up in. Like, we have the choice to do that. And I think so many women are afraid to take that leap because it feels so scary.
For a million reasons. And I think it's also okay to let people know that, you know, things do have a shelf life. It's okay if you went and you got the law degree and you don't want to practice law for 50 years, you only want to practice for 25. Like, it's okay if, you know, you met the guy and, you know, the relationship lasted 5 years and now it's not serving you anymore. It's okay when things come to an end, and a lot of people have trouble with that. And part of the way you've structured your book is you sort of have this, you know, sort of paradigm, like stop, drop, roll, and win. Like, if you really just take a moment and kind of break your life down into these four things, you really can win. So how did you decide to structure it that way? I mean, it makes total sense to me, but how did you come upon that structure?
So I realized that I didn't have a name for it or even a picture for it, but that's how I was talking clients through making this big decision. And they'd come into the office and they would always ask, you know, I'm sure like you got the question too. It's like, how do I know? So it was always, I would take the time with them first and kind of tap into like, okay, you probably already do know, but let's uncover that and figure out and get really clear on what you actually want, not what your head's telling you is going to keep you safe. get clear on that. And now let's move to that next stage. And then all of the excuses come in. And that's where you're dropping the excuses, because we all have our own unique brand of BS that shows up every time we have to make a scary leap. And it's identifying what that is so you don't stay stuck in that, and then rolling into action. Because we can dream all we want and we can say we want something, but we actually have to take strategic action. And that's what it's all about, is taking that action so then you can win. Because at the other end of that, if you stop, drop, and roll through all of your decisions, you will always win, even if it doesn't come out exactly like you expected, even if it takes longer, even if it's harder. Like, no matter what the end result is, it means you moved from a place of stagnation and you kind of let the universe do its thing. And the universe may know better than you do what is best for you. And it's kind of releasing and having some faith that it's all going to fall into place. And that is going to be your best next step forward. And then once you conquer that fear, that next decision you have to make becomes that much easier. So I was trying to figure out, how do I put it all in a concise way that's memorable? And I was thinking about, like, okay, what other frameworks have we previously seen that people used? And I was walking with my husband, and he was the one who was like, well, what about stop, drop, and roll? I'm like, really? I'm like, to kind of like put the fire out when your clothes are flammable from like the 1970, you know, they dropped that. And I was like, wait a second. I'm like, that was used to teach you how to dim or diminish the fire. But what if we use this to teach others how to light up their life? And that was how it was born.
Renee, this is Carol. Something you mentioned in your introduction to your book, and you just alluded to briefly a minute ago, is adjusting ourselves for the approval of others. Like, we make small and big decisions on life. And I think a big part of the fear of pivoting or changing or living our truth is based on what others are going to think of us. And how did you, because you talked about that you adjusted who you were to be who you thought you needed to be for, I don't know, I think it was your first husband's, who he wanted you to be. I think that we all deal with that to a certain extent. So how do we become aware of that affecting our decisions? And how do we get past that? The judgment of others with the big decisions, speaking up, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great question. And I don't know anyone, and particularly any woman, who doesn't allow that to be part of their decision-making process.
Right.
And especially as like a people pleaser and having parents where, you know, even as adults, you look back and you're like, well, will my parents approve of this decision? And yep, you know, they were the reason I almost stayed in an unfulfilling marriage, because I was afraid of disappointing them. And you know, at some point we have to hold the mirror up to ourselves and say, who are we living for and what's going to make us happy? And then start practicing the word no. And I think that is the most useful exercise to really start flexing that muscle to getting disruptive or starting to make decisions based on what you want, is saying no to things and being unapologetic about it. And just no, you don't need a reason why you don't want to do something. You can just say no, because I don't want to go out, because I don't want to do that project, and when you start to do that, it gets easier and easier and easier to do that. And then when you find yourself up against other decisions, bigger ones, then you're more comfortable saying, I need this, or I want this from you, or I don't want that. And you know, it's a process. And I think that,
go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it's practice. You know, I don't think we can just flip the switch and say, all right, now we're going to drop our people pleasing ways and we're good to go. It takes practice.
Isn't it crazy, Renee, that we have to practice being our true selves? That's how conditioned we become, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at everything around us. All the messages we get in marketing and magazines we pick up, and everyone else is telling us who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like. You know, I mean, even when you get to a certain point in your life, I'm in my mid 40s, and it's all of a sudden, it's all of this messaging about, you know, the Botox and like what you're supposed to do to reverse the aging to show that you're not getting older. I'm like,
wait, do not be dissing the Botox, Renee. We're not going there.
I'm not dissing the Botox, but it's the messaging that we're constantly getting about we have to, you know, show up and maybe be something that we don't want to be. And
I can't imagine anything more liberating than finding that place within you where the freedom to just be you and take the shots if they come, as they come.
Oh,
that's what I think we're all searching for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it took me a long time to get there. I wish that I was able to do that in my 20s or even my 30s. And I think that's part of the journey, too, is it's not linear. You know, you're going to have that roller coaster and the ups and downs and figuring out who you are and how you want to show up in the world. And I don't know any 20-year-old that really knows that truly, or isn't even aware that they get to make decisions outside that scope of what their parents are telling them or what their friends are doing. And that's part of the messaging of the book too, is to talk to them, to be like, you get to decide who you are, how you show up, what your path is. No one can dictate that to you except for you.
So you're speaking in that moment to the parent of somebody who's a 20 something or younger. But it seems to me the message and your story would completely be relatable to a late teen, early 20s person reading your book directly. The advice could be life-changing at that age, at any age, really.
I hope so. I have a 17, almost 18-year-old son, and it's like I kind of practice it on him too, because he's figuring out where he's going in the world and where he's going to college and what he wants to do. And I know when I was growing up, it was get the 9-to-5, the stable job, the secure job, the job that's going to have benefits. And it's like, okay, as a parent, can I actually put into practice something different? And so I'm telling him, find what lights you up, and then you build your career, your job around that. And you don't have to have it all figured out. Go in and explore, because maybe what you think you want isn't actually what you want. And so, you know, and then I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, oh God, I'm like, please let him make a good choice, you know, but we have to at some point as parents also let our kids fly and let them experience life and be mindful of not putting our own lens on what we think they should be doing. Let them explore and figure that out on their own.
And win and fail, right? You have to fail in order to figure it all out. I mean, it's part of it. You must go through that.
I love that word failure. And I think especially for women, so many women are afraid of failure. And I'm like, failure means you tried. And that's amazing. And it's like, when was the last time you failed at something? If you can't remember, like, come up with something that you could possibly fail at, because that means you're putting yourself out there and you're getting uncomfortable and doing something that's scary to you. And you know what? You just might succeed. And then what does life look like if you succeed? Like, the world opens up, or you continue to fail until you do succeed. And, you know, in the book, I share my publishing journey of the number of rejections it took until I actually got a literary agent. And it was 113 rejections. But I knew that I wanted to do this. And I knew I wanted that life of just writing every single day. And I'm like, I have to keep pushing forward. And so those, you know, and I've had people ask, like, well, why didn't you give up at the 25th or the 50th or the 75th? And I'm like, I'm just a tenacious little bee. So I wasn't giving up, but it was like that rejection was part of the journey too.
No, it really is. And you talked a moment ago about, you know, the universe does play a role in this. Like, you can figure out, I love the way you've broken down the book, because you basically say, okay, stop and kind of figure out where you want to be and where you are now, and then you actually have one of your chapters, it's called Drop Your BS, but you spell out the entire word, which is probably one of the biggest messages in the book. And then basically take your action, which is the role section. And you do, there is a little bit, a sprinkle of universe kind of taking over in all of that. And you have to be okay with letting the universe figure some of it out for you. Like, be open to ride that wave and take it where it leads. And that's okay. It's scary, but it's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, I am the biggest type A taskmaster, doer, control freak there is. So that is the lesson that is the hardest for me. Even this book, launching this book into the world, like, we did all the things to set it up for success and came up with the strategy. And then it's out there. And at some point, I just had to let it go and release it and say, okay, it's going to find its place in the world. And then, funny enough, I get an email from you inviting me on this show. And, you know, at some point, you just have to have the faith that it's going to do its thing and land where it's supposed to.
Oh, yeah. And the reason I found you, that's no accident. Like, the universe has a hand in all of that, that I found you, that the timing was perfect. And I really appreciate that. I'll tell you one little quick funny universe story. And somebody just reminded me of this, too, the other day. 9 years ago, in 2014, I said to – so I have this much younger boyfriend who I've had now for almost 10 years. And I had said to him 10 years ago – in 10 years, I want to be retired. And when I'm retired, I want to have – Jonna's Puppy Emporium, just an animal sanctuary where I rescue all these animals, and that's how I'm going to spend the rest of my retired life. That was 9 years ago. So fast forward, right now, so I'm not retired, but the universe has delivered to me 5 friggin' spare cats. I have one of them is pregnant again. So I have
oh no.
Yep, I have 3 feral kittens living under my spare room bed. I have the mother and the father outside, and I'm going to send you guys a picture after the show. The mother, no doubt in my mind, is pregnant again. So the universe is like, ha ha, you said you wanted to live in the sanctuary. We're giving it
but
to
I
you.
Asked for puppies.
Yeah, I heard you say puppies, though. Maybe you weren't clear on your ass.
I wasn't quite clear, but that's how funny. I mean, you just never know. The universe does listen, just doesn't, maybe not with both ears.
It can play jokes on you sometimes, too.
It can do that. Yes. And I know we have to wrap up with you, but you have a couple of other things going on. So the book is called She Who Wins, Ditch Your Inner Good Girl, Overcome Uncertainty, and Win at Your Life. But Renee, you have a podcast. Isn't your podcast also called She Who Wins?
It is.
And you usually do interviews with women who also like their messages empowerment, which is awesome. And I listen to some of that. And you speak. You do a lot of public speaking.
I do. And that's a newer kind of plot twist in my life and my career and something I just embarked on. And, you know, for being an introvert, I thought I could never do that. And for actually not being liking to be the center of attention, I thought I didn't want to do that. And I found that I actually love it. It's just something that pours out of me like writing does. So that's the next thing I'm exploring, which is fun at this point in my life to say, okay, I'm going to be a beginner at something and learn something new.
I know. So scary, but so exciting. And
He's rolling.
Yeah.
I'm rolling.
Are you practicing law still, or is that going to be, you know,
part of it? I've stopped actually taking clients myself. I manage the firm, and that chapter may be coming to completion in the next couple of years.
Oh, my hero. My hero. Well, we're going to have to have you on again. I think this book is really, and again, I'm not even finished with it, and it's already fantastic. I love the structure. I love the message. People are going to love you, and they can also tune into your podcast and get a good taste for what you are all about. We've been speaking with Renee Bauer, author of the brand new book, She Who Wins. Renee, if people want to connect with you, I know they can get the book on Amazon, et cetera, but if they want to connect with you, learn more about you, book you for a speaking gig, how do they find you?
They can go to my website, which is MsReneeBauer.com, or if they want to just send me a message that I will respond to, they can do that over on Instagram, and my handle is at MsReneeBauer as well, MS.
Well, Renee, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Renee.
For sharing your talent with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Yes, thank you very much, Renee. And we are not done with Happy Hour just yet. We still have segment number 3 on the way. So for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, I am some guy that helps them out with stuff on occasion. And we will be right back. And Renee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Well, it was very nice to talk to Renee Bauer just now, and some very interesting stuff. And I know that, Jonna, you actually have physically grabbed a book and physically turned pages in this particular case.
I'm at a loss.
Yeah, me as well. So obviously something's going on here with how much you're enjoying this book of hers.
I know. It's crazy. And it really only happened because I didn't have a choice. Her book is so new that she does not yet have the audio version out. And because we, you know, we do like to prepare on this show, and she sent this to me before it was officially hot off the press, I picked it up and read it. And you know what? I have to give it to you, Curly Pesky, because you often enjoy, and you've spoken about enjoying, sitting in your chair, yep, ginger by your side, cup of tea, cup of coffee, flipping through an actual book. That is probably one of your favorite pastimes.
Amen.
And now
I like a physical book. Sometimes, I'll do the Kindle if I want the information right away, or it's close to guest interview and I haven't gotten the copy yet, I'll download the Kindle. But I love a physical paper book.
And I get it now. I do get it now. I guess, and part of the reason why I do the audio too, not just for the other reasons, but you can listen to audio while you're doing other things. You can multitask your consumable, which is very helpful, especially if you're like in the car for a long time on the treadmill.
Yeah, you don't want to be holding your paper book and driving.
No, though I've seen people do that.
I have
seen people do it. So, but yeah, but this book is really good. And now look, I know we have a lot of authors that write inspirational books, and they all bring something kind of new, a different take to the table. And this one for me, whenever something's easy to understand and implement, obviously I love it a little bit more. This one could not be easier. Like literally, like, you know, it's basically structured like we talked about. Stop and figure it out.
Oh my gosh. Stop, drop, and roll. It's right, so brilliant.
And start rolling into action. And then guess what? Then you have the life that you want.
And you're not on fire anymore.
And you're not, right? You're not on fire. It's so cool. You know, Carol, as a publisher, I even like the title. And I think as a publisher, you probably appreciate the fact that the title, I'm not going to say the title's 90%. What do you think? How much credit do you give a title for selling a book?
Particularly with nonfiction self-help books, between the title and the subhead, you've got to know immediately this resonates with me and what am I going to get out of it? It's critical.
Those are the key components.
Do you think
are there people whose job, because that would be a fun job, if your only job was to create titles and subheads.
Now, Frankenberry,
you'd never get that job, Frankenberry.
No, I would not.
I'd read it.
Yeah, exactly.
Your testimonial, your first testimonial would be from Bella.
That's right. It would be a quote, nothing, and a quote.
But what a fun job that would be.
I love that part of what I do when I'm working with particularly a nonfiction book, the children's books. Usually they're pretty clear on what they want. I love that part of the creative process. Really understanding the author. Who is this for? What's your promise? You know, you want immediately somebody to say, oh God, that's me. I can totally relate to that. And I love that. And I love when you get it and you know it. Like Happy Bitch.
Oh God, yeah.
The second that came in my head, that's it.
Carol, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't connect this dot when we had Renee on the line. Because her book is about not doing what, you know, the whole world thinks you should do. You got to do what resonates with you. Do you remember, Carol, when we first met and your Happy Bitch first came out? I'm not going to name a name, but I think you'll know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There was somebody at a different station who said, you got to change the title of the book. He mm-hmm. didn't like the title of the book. And you were like, yeah, no. I remember.
Yep. And then here's the other interesting fun fact about that book is, you know, immediately by the title, it's going to be edgy and there'll be edgy language. And before it was published, and I had given some samples out to people in my network to read, and the F word is in my book a few times. I admittedly, when it was all done, went through and counted how many and kind of pulled a few out. I didn't want to overuse it, but sometimes it's the right word and that's it. And so I had accumulated an email following at that point. So a guy friend of mine said, Carol, loving your style and your voice and your message. Are you sure you want to use the F word? Wow. And so I'm like, So I sent an email out to whoever was on my list at the time and said, to F or not to F. What do you think? Overwhelmingly, and it was mostly because my book, The Happy Bitch and Hello Beautiful, both are written primarily for women. Overwhelmingly, all the women are like, why would you take it out? Like, no, of course, including my mother. But it was interesting that it was a guy friend who shied away from that. But I just knew that was, and that's not for every book or every author or every audience, but that's me. And the voice needed to be authentic, and 100% knew that, and 100% wasn't going to change it.
And I think that was the smart move. And it's so interesting too, that I didn't even realize back then, I remember it, but I didn't realize it was, you know, a man's opinion to take it out. And the audience for the book was like, heck no.
Right. Like, yeah.
And that's important too. But, you know, I guess our biggest audience really in this day and age needs to be us. And one of the things we didn't really get to when we were talking about Renee, I'll just add in really quick, because she said something in her promotion for the book, which also resonates with me. And she said, okay, wait a minute. I'm pulling it up on my thing. Okay. She said, and she was talking about coming out of a pandemic, et cetera, and all the things that we survived for the last 3 years. And she said, if we can survive a pandemic, homeschooling, loss of income, and even a toilet paper shortage, don't we deserve to win? Yes, we do.
Yep.
One of the things that attracted me to this book. So it was a great interview with her.
Yeah, she was great. I love her energy, her insight, her style. Yeah, can't wait to read the rest of it.
And also plug into her podcast. Just, you know, search her podcast for She Who Wins. She's got some great guests on there. She's got great energy, great voice. So it was a good time speaking with her today. Renee Bauer, author of She Who Wins. And I think that that's a wrap.
Yeah, I think we can call that a wrap. So again, to Renee Bauer, thank you for joining us this morning. Much appreciated. And for Jonas Spildor and Carol Pesci, I am that guy named Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week. Same time right here. So please join us again then. And until then, have a safe one.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spildor and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.